Well, let's pray before we get into our message today. Father, now, as we dive into your word, as we look at the best gift, may you inspire us, may you encourage us, may you take what you've instructed me to say and make it make sense. And Father, I pray that their ears would be open, all of our hearts would be open to your spirit today. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Well, if you're not in the Christmas spirit, I really do hope and pray that you will get into the Christmas spirit. Again, if you're not just inspired by the decor up here, by what we're going to share and talk about this morning. How many of y'all love Christmas? Anybody, like, Christmas is your favorite holiday, favorite time of the year? I love Christmas. A couple of reasons. There's a lot of things I love about Christmas. Number one, Jesus. Duh. Jesus is awesome. I mean, you can't spell Christmas without Christ. Okay. Really? Must. You can't spell Christmas without must. And that's true. But you can't spell Christmas without Christ. I love Christmas Eve with my family. We have a holiday tradition that we started a number of years ago when we had a family of our own. We had Karis, where we read the Christmas story together, and have communion. And now every time we have communion, Karis wants sparkling grape juice. And it's like, it's associated with communion. That sparkling grape juice, like, she wants to have communion all the time now because of that. But Christmas Eve with the family, Christmas music. Anybody love Christmas music? I mean, never mind the fact that they just play it earlier and earlier and earlier on the radio. And by the end of it, you get sick of it. And like Thanksgiving isn't even recognized. You know, you're like, we just skip Thanksgiving and go to Christmas. I used to be mad about that, but I ain't hating so much now. I like Thanksgiving, but Christmas is my favorite holiday. I like Christmas because of hot chocolate. Not that you have to have Christmas to drink hot chocolate, but I like hot chocolate. I like Christmas because of the elf on the shelf. I know it's kind of secular, and don't judge me, but I enjoy hiding that little elf all over my house. Anybody know what elf on the shelf is? You know what I'm talking about? If you don't have kids, you're aloof to the idea of the elf on the shelf. And you can Google it, because I don't want to take any more time explaining what the elf on the shelf is, because it's neither here nor there. But I like elf on the shelf. But one of my least favorite things about Christmas, and this is kind of ironic, one of my least favorite things about Christmas is gifts. Don't hate. Let me explain. One of my least favorite things about Christmas is gifts. And, you know, in fact, my own wife, my lovely, beautiful bride there, has even called me a Scrooge. At Christmas. Me, a Scrooge? How could I dare be a Scrooge? A miserly Scrooge face. I know some of you guys, you're judging me pretty harshly right now, and I get it. Because you're the people who, like, your love language is gifts. And so it could be Christmas all year long, and you'd be okay with that. And that's fine. We can still be friends. We can. That's cool. But here's the thing, though. And here's why I have this kind of disdain for gifts at Christmas. Is because, two reasons. I have kids, number one. And the culture around us has said that kids must have hundreds of items on their Christmas list. And I've seen those Christmas lists, and they tried to make their way into my house. We shut that down pretty quick. We said a thing, like, Karis knows, hey, you're getting two presents. Two. That's it. Don't be asking for any more. Don't be adding any more things to your Christmas. I mean, she has the Walmart ad, the Target ad, and she's got things circled in there and starred and all that kind of stuff. It's like, you need to pick two. You got 100, but you need to narrow it down to two gifts. Because our culture has said, man, you got to get gifts. And, I read about, you know, one of my friends was on Facebook was talking about his kids got 100 things on his Christmas list. And he said, his post said, you know, it seems like the theme for this Christmas is going to be disappointment. I got to like that comment. Yes, this is true. And don't get me wrong. It's not that I dislike the idea of gifts at all. It's not that I dislike gifts. It's that I dislike the obligation that comes along with it at Christmas. You guys know what I'm talking about, right? Like, you have to get your great aunt Ruth something for Christmas because she's getting something for you. Never mind the fact that you only see her once every 2 years. You don't even know anything about this woman, but she's getting you a gift, so you have to in turn be obligated to get her something. You ever felt the obligation that comes along with gift giving at Christmas? It sucks. Let's just be real. Like, can we? Some of you are like, I love giving gifts. You ready on my parade? And we're talking about the best gifts. So how can he be talking about the gift sucks and we're talking about the best gift? It doesn't seem to make sense. But it's the obligation of it. Don't get me wrong, it's the obligation of it. I mean, and think about this. 1 year I got, you can really get into like getting some bad presents, especially when you don't know much about the person that you're getting the gift for, or the person that's getting a gift for you doesn't know much about you. So 1 year we're doing the, you know, the gift giving and the extravaganza and all that. Everybody gets everybody a present, you know. And then it was, you draw a name. I guess funds got a little tighter. And then it was, okay, you have a budget for the person that you're getting. You're like, you can only spend $20 for that person. And then, I mean, it keeps dwindling. And now, like, nobody buys anybody anything. It's wonderful. I love it. But 1 year, I got this one of those prepackaged Christmas gifts. You know the ones, like, in the aisles at Walmart. Like, when you go into the front of the store and they have all these prepackaged gifts. You know, the bath stuff and the cologne. So 1 year, I'm excited to open this present that I get from one of my aunts. And I open it up. I tear into the thing. I'm like 13 years old. And it's one of those prepackaged gifts of Old Spice cologne. Okay? Now, yeah, Old Spice. And now Old Spice has done some rebranding, and they got the cool guy with his shirt off, and he's got muscles and all that kind of stuff on their commercial. And I mean, it smells better now, but like back then, it might as well have been the Aqua Velva that my papaw wore. Old Spice meant old. What 13-year-old teenager wants to smell like a grumpy old lumberjack? Seriously. And I, you know, if you wear Old Spice and like the old Spice, that's okay. But I invite you to the 21st century. Okay. So that's one. What's a horrible gift? That's a horrible gift. Think about that. What's one of the worst gifts you ever received? Fruitcake. Go. I said it. Fruitcake. Oh man, you might as well be eating tree bark. Just think about that. Certainly you've gotten some bad gifts over the holidays, haven't you? I mean, it's a gift that nobody would want in their right mind, that you'll never use, that it's one of the gifts, frankly, that just goes into the re-gift pile for next year. Or like the Bad Santa Christmas game, or the White Elephant or whatever, where you get the gag gift that nobody wants. It goes into that pile, so you don't have to spend any money for the next year. So Christmas has become about gift giving, and it's become about the obligation of it. So, you know, the 1 year that we exchange the gifts, and then we draw the names, and here's how ridiculous it has become. You draw the name, you get the person's name, they're not supposed to know whose name you got, so it's all a surprise until you get there on Christmas morning or whatever, and then you do the gift exchange. You guys know what I'm talking about, right? You give your person your gift, and usually there's some excitement associated with it, but it had become such drudgery to me. Mainly because it was basically just like, I got you a $25 gift card and you got me a $25 gift card, so we just ended up keeping our money. There was no excitement about it. It was like, oh yeah, Target gift card, awesome. It's just become a gift card exchange. So it really, frankly, was terrible. I mean, brunch with the family was great. The food was awesome. You know, I'd bring my guitar. We'd sing Christmas carols. And that's, you know, that's what it's all about, that time with family, giving somebody the gift of your presence, being present with them. And I found that that was a much better gift than a $20 gift card. Matter of fact, one year, we decided to abandon the whole idea of gifts altogether with one side of my family. We're doing different traditions with like three different families up in Greenville. I mean, it gets exhausting. Anybody get exhausted over the holidays? I mean, you got to drive here, you got to drive there, you got to bake this, you got to cook that, you got to eat all this, and then you're fat. I mean, it's exhausting. And then comes this is why everybody goes on a diet on New Year's Day. Because you ate so much over Thanksgiving and Christmas. But one year, we decided just to completely abandon it all. And we said, no, we're not drawing names this year. What we decided to do with the Hudson side of the family, my mom's adopted by her side of the family there. She was in foster care. She was in the foster care system. And they, when she was 16, they took her in. And then, I don't know if it's even a legal adoption or whatever, but they're our family. They're our family. It's really cool. It's a cool experience. And so what we decided that one year is, instead of giving gifts, everybody would contribute some money to World Vision. Anybody know what World Vision is? You can adopt a kid through this organization, but at Christmas time, they send the gift catalog out, and they've got, you know, you can buy a chicken for your five chickens or whatever. You can, you know, have gifts, different gifts for people all over the world at varying amounts. And so, I mean, this is awesome what took place here, because we compiled our money, and it was more than, like, people gave more than $20. Like, what we had been used to spending at Christmas on a gift card exchange, we took that, and some of us doubled it, and some of us tripled it, and some of us quadrupled it, and we gave $100 or $200 towards World Vision. And we each picked out, we got, over Thanksgiving, we got the catalog out, and we said, hey, this is what I want. This is what I want to buy. This is what I want to go to. And we compiled all the money, and we raised $800 with our family and bought a slew of things. And then Christmas brunch with the Hudson family was so special. So special because I remember this was, what are these things? Okay. I remember the Christmas morning, and this was the year that we were pregnant with Karis. And the gift that we had picked out was nutrition for pregnant mothers. And I'm like, it was special to us because it's like, man, there are people in the world who don't have what we do. And we were able to provide something for somebody else. So Christmas morning, and they send you, World Vision is awesome. They'll send you a card. And it says, this is what your gift went for. And you can give that to the person. So we took turns and we went around the family and we opened these cards and we read, okay, this, thank you for giving towards a pregnant mother who doesn't have supplies. Thank you for giving, you know, a pond for a family who doesn't have food, a fishing pond. Thank you for giving chickens that will provide for somebody's livelihood. Thank you for giving an emu so, you know, somebody can shave it and sell the wool. I mean, it was so special. It's like Christmas had a new meaning. And it was about giving such a better gift than some crappy gift card. You know, and I'm, you know, no shame or no, like, judgment on anybody that's doing Christmas big or any of that kind of stuff. I just want to explain to you this morning, I found a better way. There is a better way. There's a better way to experience the joy of Christmas. Is there a better way than the drudgery that comes along with it? And maybe it's not drudgery to you, but it had become drudgery to me. And, I'm so grateful that I found a better way. I'm so grateful. The following year, we did Advent Conspiracy here at the church, and I won't take too much time and tell you about that. I really do encourage you to Google that, Advent Conspiracy, write that down. A whole campaign about doing Christmas differently. And we did that a few years ago after we did the World Vision thing with the family. It was kind of part of that. We completely abandoned the idea of obligation gift giving at Christmas time. And everybody, it seems like everybody breathed a sigh of relief. Everybody, let's just collectively breathe one together. Whew. Oh, man. I feel better already. I mean, it's like we were free from those holiday traditions. It's holiday traditions that often end up with people getting less than perfect gifts, Old Spice, gift cards they didn't need. And not to mention the load of credit card debt that goes along with buying something you don't need, with money you don't have, to impress people you don't like. Yeah, we've all been there. There's a better way. Let's read some scripture. We are at church after all. Turn your Bibles to Acts chapter 20. We're talking about the best gift. There's a better gift than just what culture and our holiday traditions have taught us. Acts chapter 20, verse 31, it says, "So now, brethren, I commend you to God and to the word of his grace." This is Paul writing, Paul speaking, "which is able to build you up and give you an inheritance among all those who are sanctified. I have coveted no one's silver or gold or apparel. Yes, you yourselves know that these hands have provided for my necessities and for those who were with me. I have shown you in every way by laboring like this that you must support the weak. And remember the words of the Lord Jesus that he said, 'It is more blessed to give than to receive.'" Certainly we've all heard this phrase, right? It's better to give than to receive. It's more blessed to give than to receive. I mean, it's not just a cute saying on a Hallmark card, right? It's not just a cliche that, a famous philosopher said, right? This is the words of Jesus. It's better to give than to receive. Everybody say that. It's better to give than to receive. It's better to give than to receive. I mean, certainly we've heard that over the years, but have you truly lived it? Have you truly lived it? Have you truly experienced, and let's reflect on this for a second. You ask yourself the question, have I truly experienced the joy of giving? Have I truly experienced the joy of giving? Now, contrast that with the obligation of giving that often comes along with Christmas time. There is a joy that comes with giving. And that's what I want us to get back to. I want us to get back to enjoying giving. To enjoy giving. I mean, not the obligation, but the joy. There have been some significant times in my life when I've truly experienced the joy of giving. And I can talk to you about a couple of things. Three things that I believe come into play when it comes to experiencing the joy of giving. There's three factors that we need to have if we're going to experience the joy of giving. And coming from a Baptist background, I, of course, have some alliteration and 3 points. So, here we go. If you're taking notes, write these down. Number one, the motive. The motive. Everybody say motive. Number two, the mark. Everybody say the mark. And number three, the method. The method. All right. And that's cute and all, but there's some significance here. So, the motive. What is the motive? What's the reason behind your gift? Why? Why do you want to give? Is it because somebody's making you draw a name out of a hat and you have to purchase something for somebody? Otherwise, you're going to, somebody's going to give you a dirty look. I think there's a better motive to giving than obligation, isn't there? What would be the highest motive for a gift? Love. Absolutely. Love is the ultimate motive. I've heard this said, it's possible to give without loving. We've all experienced that, haven't we? That's oftentimes what takes place when we have this obligation to give, that we give without loving. It's like, oh, here, just take it. But it's impossible to love without giving. You see that? It's possible to give without loving, but it's impossible to love without giving, because if you love, giving is just going to be an extension of your heart. Giving is just going to be extension. And it's going to be, and it's going to flow from the heart. And there's going to be some joy that comes along with it. So love is the ultimate motive. The second thing, the mark, is the gift going to leave an impression? Is the gift going to make a significant impact? I mean, the Old Spice made a significant impact, but not in a positive way. You understand what I'm saying? Is it going to leave a mark? And then finally, the method. how you give the gift, and it's taken me a while to learn this, but how you give the gift, how you present the gift is often as important as the gift itself. My dad is a character, and he had no concept of wrapping paper. No concept of presentation when it comes to like giving gifts. Literally, every time we got Christmas gifts, it was always wrapped in a trash bag. always wrapped in a trash bag. It's like, oh, great, another pile of trash. I mean, what does that say about what it contains, really? I mean, wrapped in a trash bag, seriously? No, he's gotten better. He's gotten better. He'll put it in a gift bag now, and it's often about the presentation. But I think about the presentation of the gift is often as important as the gift itself. I mean, it's not just, you know, grab the old newspaper and wrap it up in there, or the comic strips. Oh, let's put the funny papers in there. And we used to do all this kind of stuff, right? And my dad's like, oh, why would I spend $1 on a gift bag, you know, when I got all these trash bags under, you know, that I can reuse. Just dump all the trash out and, you know, put the thing in there. But there's a way to give. There's a method that you can, that in which you can give, that you can put some thought behind it. And people say it's the thought that counts, you know. And they say that when they're not doing anything at all but thinking. But there is a thought process that can come, that can go behind giving a gift, that often communicates a lot more than the gift itself. It says, hey, I was thinking about you. I was thinking about what you would enjoy and the experience of unwrapping this or searching for it or whatever. And there's some things that I've done over the years. And, you know, I used to be like a hopeless romantic when I was pursuing my bride. I'm still like a romantic. I'm just not hopeless. But there's certain times of the year where you'll do certain things in certain ways, right? Like you'll lead that special somebody on a scavenger hunt to find their gift. And if you haven't done this, this is a really cool thing I did to do. And it's the presentation of the gift, right? But I think about one of the most significant I've ever given, the most significant gift I've ever given, was something that fit the bill of all of these methods. And it was truly a joy to give it. It was given by love. It was, it left a significant impact on the person who received the gift. And finally, there was a method to the way in which I gave it. And this was about 13 years ago that I gave this gift. And it was a ring that I had bought for somebody. And a special ring. It was one of those engagement rings. Everybody ever heard of one of those? Like, that's one of the ultimate expressions of love, isn't it? Saying, I want to marry you. I want to marry you. I want to be with you. I'm going to bow down on one knee and ask you to be my bride. And so it's a gift given from love. It's a gift that's going to be, that's going to make a significant impact. It's a gift that's going to be used every single day. I don't know if I could think of a better gift to give a person to person, right? It's a gift that's going to be used every single day. It's going to leave a significant impact. It means we're going to be together for the rest of our lives, for better or for worse. And then there was a method. We had, the church I was attending at the time was Grace Christian Church in Greenville. And they did this thing around Valentine's Day called the Potluck Prom. And it was a cool event. They decorated the gym up with all kinds of Valentine's Day stuff, and everybody in the church was invited. It wasn't just like for teenagers or any of that. It was a really kind of cool event. Everybody, you dressed up in your nicest gear and you. It's like you're going to battle or something. No, I dressed up in what I like had tuxedo pants and stuff. I don't know where I got those. Maybe I never returned a tux I rented for prom or something. But I wore like tuxedo pants, a nice shirt, and Kristen wore a beautiful red dress. And, you know, we did it up nice, right? We dressed up really nice. And Kristen thought, hey, we're just going to the Potluck Prom. It's cool. I asked her to be my date for this prom. She had no idea what was going on. And oftentimes when you give a gift, the element of surprise is something that will come into play and really enhance the joy that comes along with giving the gift. And so I had worked with Steve and Rhonda Morin to help me purchase the ring, and they helped me kind of orchestrate this whole event. So at the potluck prom, they would crown a potluck queen and a potluck prom king, all right? Sounds ridiculous, but it's all fun. And so we rigged the vote. Like, you had to vote on people and that kind of deal, but we rigged it. She had no idea that we rigged it. She was going to be the queen and I was going to be the king. Like, I know we would have won otherwise, but just to make sure, we stuffed the ballot a little bit. And so we had attached her engagement ring with fishing line to the crown that was going to be put on her head. And so, you know, Rhonda puts the crown on her head and puts mine on and puts her crown on, and then the ring kind of dangles down from the fishing line and like in front of her face, and she's like, "What is?" She's like, "Something's in my hair." She's kind of brushing away, and then finally she grabs it and she's like, "Wow." And I drop to one knee and have the microphone ask her to marry me. It was a sweet, beautiful thing, and I I love you. She's wondering where's that guy been lately. Just remember what that felt like. And I'll try to remember how to do that again. Oh boy. But that was a pretty good gift, right? Pretty good gift. You still wear it today, right? Hold it up for everybody to see. It was a cheap ring. I mean, it wasn't like an expensive ring. I spent like $700 on it. It was a great deal. Hey, I was a poor college kid. $700 was like a fortune to me. Don't judge me. And I paid cash. So there. Saved up my money and paid cash. How many of you are still paying off your engagement ring? Judge me. Don't look at me with that tone of voice. I see you. So that was the most significant gift I think I've ever given. I mean, I've given a number of things away over the years, and none of them have been quite as significant as that. I've given away guitars and digital recorders and MP3 players, TV, CDs, DVDs, all kinds of stuff. But there was one year that I gave something that was really kind of significant to me because it made an impact on me. And again, those factors were kind of all in play, the motive, the mark, and the method. And it was in 2009, God began to deal with me about giving my truck away, my form of transportation. I had bought this truck again. I paid for it with my own money and paid it off, and it was free. I mean, it was like I didn't have to a payment on this thing. And doesn't that feel great when you own your vehicle? And but God told me to give it away. I'm like, what? Really? And he dealt with me about this for months, 4 months, in fact, until I finally obeyed. And I gave the truck away, and it was a gift given out of love, and it was a joy to do it. I was so happy to do it, and like, you know, excited, you know? You ever been there? Like, so excited to give a gift? You remember the feeling, like the joy that went into that? And it helped out this person. I gave my truck away to Eric Netzler, and sure, it helped him out in that season of his life, but I believe it made more of an impact, made more of a mark on me than it did him. And it really did. And there's so many things on the other side of that that took place. And it's not just about the gift that I gave him, but what I received in return. It was just miraculous. And so a year goes by, and I'm the struggle was real. I mean, I'm walking to work, and I mean, a lot of times there's some sacrifice that comes along with giving, isn't there? And we don't talk a lot about like sacrificial giving, but there is an element of sacrifice that comes along with giving. I mean, if you give something away, you're not going to have that thing, at least for a season, that you may be in sacrifice, right? And so there was a sacrificial element of it to me, and a learning thing involved in faith and all of that kind of stuff, because I determined I'm not going to I'm not going to make this happen, even though like all the way, kind of a part way through this thing, I tried to make something happen, like getting a vehicle for myself. And that's another story for another time. And many of you have heard this story, but it does bear repeating to make a point that, you know, during that season, I was walking to work. I was riding a girl's bicycle. I wrecked said bicycle and began walking again. And it was great. Glorious time of my life. And we get an email about October of that year. A family member of ours, my sister-in-law, Stacy, in Colorado, had asked, "Hey, do you guys have any prayer requests? We want to pray for you. What's coming up? What do you guys want for Christmas? Blah, blah, blah. What do the kids want, etc." And said, "What can you pray for us about?" And Christian just said, "Hey, we're in need of a vehicle. And just believe God with us for a provision for that." And the reason she had asked is because God had begun dealing with her about giving me her 2008 Ford Explorer. And she's like, if they don't need it, I'm probably going to keep it. But so she asked, and found out that's the type of vehicle we were wanting. And a couple weeks go by, she says, "Well, you know, here's the deal. God's told me to give you this truck, this SUV, and it's yours if you want it." "If I want it?" And then Murphy was like, yes, we want it. This is the answer. This is what we want. And so it took her a little bit to work out all the details. And finally, in March of the following year, she sent it here. It got delivered here to the church. It was a glorious day. It was awesome. I was rejoicing. Many people were happy for me because they'd been along the walk with me. It wasn't a ride. It was a walk. They had been along the journey with me, and so we're all rejoicing together. We're excited about what God had done. It was the vehicle's paid off. She paid for the insurance on it for a year. It's crazy. Paid the taxes on it for a year. I mean, it was just over the top. I mean, beyond what I could ever imagine. And from such an unlikely source. I mean, somebody who lives in Colorado, we don't see her very often. It was, praise God. It was so awesome. The other side of that. Now, she and her family had made a sacrifice. She and her family had been obedient to God asking them to give. I mean, they were so happy to give. They were giddy about giving. They experienced the joy of giving. They're happy to do it. And we talked to them on the phone. We tried to talk them out of it. We said, "Hey, you guys need this more than we do. I mean, you've got a bigger family, blah, blah, blah." You know, and Kristen's like trying to talk her out of it. I'm like, "Please don't talk her out of it. She needs to obey God." She really does. She obeyed God, and we asked her, "Hey, what can we pray for you about?" And she said, "Well, you know, she had married Bobby around that time. They'd been married for a year or a couple years at this time, and they each had kids themselves, but they wanted to have kids together. Well, see, Bobby had a vasectomy a number of years ago after he had three kids of his own. He has three kids, right? He had a vasectomy. And so it was going to cost them, what was it, around $10,000 or more. A lot of times we underestimate medical bills. It's going to cost them a lot of money to reverse the surgery if they wanted to go that route or adopt. And they were thinking about both of these options. You know, these are viable options, but they're going to be expensive. They are. And so she said, "You can pray for us about that situation." So we just prayed. We were there in April of that following year, like a month after we got the vehicle. We prayed together, and it was a sweet time that we had. And not too long after that, we get a call from Stacy, and she says, "Guess what? I'm pregnant!" And we're like, "What? What? Doesn't it take? What happened?" Not that I need to know, like, the birds and bees side of things. Or any further details. Where do babies come from? He didn't have a reversal of the surgery. There was no IVF or any of that process. Like the old fashioned way. Supernatural. A supernatural gift. Supernatural gift. And it was far, 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 far better than they could have even imagined. Now they have this beautiful boy named Brody, who was a joy to them. And speaking of best gifts, and speaking of kids, my kids are like the best gift I could have ever received, I think. Some of the best gifts. Don't you believe that? Do you believe that about your kids? Or at least have you believed that about your kids at some point? I know there are days that I think, well, this is not quite the gift that I expected, but for the most part, I mean, aren't your kids like a joy? Aren't your kids the best gift? Children, the scripture says children are a gift from God. And that's what I want to say in all of this is that giving your best gift in love, a gift that's going to leave a mark and giving it methodically, giving your best gift leads to receiving extraordinary gifts beyond what you can imagine. Beyond what you can imagine. My kids ask me for things all the time. I mean, even the kid that can't talk asks me for things. It often involves like pointing and grunting and that kind of stuff. But she gets your point across. She does. And this child, Adelie, she'll be a year old on Thursday. Happy birthday to you. She'll be a year old on Thursday, and she loves ice. Anybody ice chompers? You like to chomp ice? This child loves ice. And she can't say the word ice. If she tried, it'd probably come out sounding like something else. She can't say it, but she has a way of getting her point across like that. That's what she wants. And somehow we give in. We give her what she asks for. I don't ever have the idea or the notion that my child wants ice, so let me go out into the yard and pick up a few rocks and see if she'll chomp on these. I mean, they're just as crunchy, right? I mean, we never think this way, do we? Who of us would ever think of tricking our kids and giving them something that's going to pain them rather than something that's going to meet one of their needs or desires? We would never do that, right? No. And the scripture points to this in Matthew chapter 7, verse 9. It says, "Which of you, if his son asks for bread, will give him a stone? Or if he asks for a fish, will give him a snake?" You can think about it. This is ludicrous. Who would even dare to do this? "If you then, though you are evil, know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will your Father in heaven give good gifts to those who ask him?" And our Father is the best gift giver. He is a master giver. He is. He's given us the best gift that anybody could possibly ask for. And it fits the bill of all of the things that I talked about would include the joy of giving, would lead to the joy of giving. He gave out of love, didn't he? He gave a gift that would leave a lasting impression. I mean, it's left an impression for thousands of years. It's left a lasting impression on you and I, hasn't it? Those of us who have received this gift. It's a gift that was given in the most unique way. Like if we ever thought God, the God of the universe, would come down in human form and be delivered in a stable and be placed in a manger. And we thought, we would imagine if God, the God of the universe, has come down, he's going to come down as a king. He's going to come down reigning in authority and power and not in the form of a helpless baby, right? What a surprise. What a surprise gift. What a gift that's given in such a unique yet extravagant way. And God so loved the world, the scripture says, that he gave. What did he give? Wow. All righty. What an explosive gift that God has given us in Jesus. It's a light bulb. Everybody okay? All right. Thank you to the pyrotechnics team. We appreciate Appreciate all your hard work back there. Couldn't do this without Team Good News, guys. What was I saying? The light of the world. He gave us the best, didn't he? God so loved the world that he gave. He was motivated by love. The greatest expression of love was that he gave his very best. Just like, would you or I ever think about giving one of our children? Even if we have multiple children, much less that we would have one child. But he gave his one and only begotten son. And then there's the mark, the payoff, so that whoever believes in him would receive everlasting life. Talk about an eternal impact. Can't think of anything else that would leave such a lasting impression than the gift of Jesus. And not just for our eternity, but for our here and now. Those things that I talked to you about, those gifts and then the receiving of the extraordinary gifts beyond that, those couldn't take place apart from Jesus. You see Jesus' hand in all of that. You see his handiwork in all of the wonderful gifts that we receive, don't you? The scripture says in James 1:17, every good and perfect gift is from above and comes down from the Father of lights, with whom there is no variation, no shadow of turning. The God who gave us Jesus is the same God who continually gives us every single day. He hasn't changed. There is no variation. If he gave us Jesus, wouldn't he with him freely give us all things? And the answer is yes. Yes, he would. And yes, he has. Yes, he has. He's given us the best gift. And I believe that receiving, and there's the breaker, I believe that receiving the best gift leads to us being able to give our best gift. Receiving the best gift. And I'll point this out to you in the scriptures as we close. 1 John 4, if you have your Bibles, you can turn there. Otherwise, we'll put it on the screen for you. 1 John 4, it says, beloved, let us love one another, in verse 7, for love is of God. There's that motive. For love is of God, and everyone who loves is born of God and knows God. He who does not love does not know God, for God is love. In this, the love of God was manifested toward us, that God has sent his only begotten Son into the world that we might live through him. And this is love, not that we loved God, but that he loved us and sent his Son to be the propitiation for our sins. Beloved, if God so loved us, we also ought to love one another. Receiving what Jesus has done for us, receiving this love, this gift of love in Jesus, receiving this gift of love in Jesus enables us to give our best gift to others. Love, grace, peace, a kind word. I mean, oftentimes we equate gift giving with monetary things and that's part of it. It is. But it's not the best part. I mean, money really is just a tool, isn't it? The best gift that we can give somebody is grace. The best gift we can give somebody is love. The best gift we can give somebody is ourselves, our presence, being with them, being there for them. And all of that couldn't give any of that stuff without Jesus, without the love of God flowing in and through us. And so I want to give you the invitation this morning to receive the best gift that God has given us. Would you bow your heads and close your eyes with me right now for just a moment? I believe there are some people here today that you have never received the best gift that God has offered you in Jesus. And today's your day. Today's your day to receive Jesus. God loves you so much. He loves you so much that he gave Jesus. And he gave Jesus so that he would leave a mark in your life, have a lasting impact on your life. And he gave Jesus in one of the most unique ways possible. And receiving Jesus is so easy. The scripture says if you believe in your heart that God raised Jesus from the dead and you confess with your mouth that he is Lord, you will be saved. And so I'd like to lead you in a simple prayer to accept and receive what Jesus has done for you. If you're here today and you say, hey, that's me. I hear what you're saying and I want to receive this. I've never experienced a gift like this and I want to receive this. It truly is a gift. All you have to do is reach out and receive it. If that's you, would you just raise your hand and say, hey, that's for me. I want that. You just raise your hand all across the place. Let's lift your hand and say, hey, that's what I want. I'm not going to call you out or have you come up front or any of that. We're just going to say a prayer together. Thank you. I see that hand. Awesome. Anybody else? Praise God. I'm going to invite you to stand to your feet as we pray this prayer together. Just repeat after me. Mean this in your heart and say it from your mouth. Say, God in heaven, I believe in Jesus. I believe he died on the cross and you raised him from the dead. Jesus, be my Lord. Make me who you want me to be. I receive this gift of everlasting life and the abundant life here on earth. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen.